Testing, 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 testing. Would you tell us your name and just give us the story of how this thing developed?
That tape we have it here for Andrew, but if you're talking about the boycott began in
February 26th.
Yes, this year. This was the second boycott. Originally, we had one in September, right after the school holidays for 3 days. Nobody returned to school the first 3 days of school. Well, let's say the boycott then was about 60-70% effective. And it was only a 3-day boycott, and this is the amount of time that it was called for. And it was a protest urging the city and the state to take some action in resolving the school problem. At the end of the 3 days, those people who had participated returned to school, and my husband and I decided that we would keep our daughter out. The second boycott was called in February, for February, immediately after the winter vacation. And the hope there was that there would be a large number of people who would go on indefinitely. And after the first week, you know, people began drifting back to school. In fact, they were going back rather rapidly.
Can you mention perhaps, though, that the first day there were 235 who felt strongly enough about it,
yeah,
to participate? And
this was the count by the City Board of Education. Our own feeling was that there were many more children than 235 out from our own observations and from the reports by the reporters who were allowed in the building. But in any event, as time went on, there was a hardcore of about 45 to 50 children who did not return to the school. Originally, Ethical Culture permitted us to use their building in Teaneck, which was really well set up for a school, but pressure, I believe, was put on them. And at the end of the first week, we were asked to move. Arrangements were made for the children to go into 7 private homes in 1 block area in Englewood. Now, some of the people who opened up their homes were people who were not at all involved actively in the boycott movement or any of the movements associated with the protest here in Englewood. Most of them we didn't even know. And when I say we, I mean the parents. But Barbara Kay and was able to contact people on her street, Belmont Street, and in that development, and they allowed us to use their homes up until the spring holiday. Now, they didn't withdraw their homes, but we felt that we had really imposed on them much too long. And some of the people felt that the boycott could not continue because we were running out of teachers. It was very difficult to maintain these homes.
This was after a 6-week period.
At least 6 weeks, and up to Easter. And there were transportation problems. It was just extremely difficult to maintain the boycott in that setting. And there were many who were discouraged and said, well, let's give it up. But
Carmen,
the parents
mentioned some of these mechanical type details, because I anticipate that other communities are going to think of doing these things.
But the parents refused to give up. The teacher who had headed this, Mrs. Jones, was very frank with the parents and said, your kids are not being educated. What's happening now is very damaging to them. Children were being exposed to, say, 7 different people in a given week because all we had were volunteers who would give maybe 1 day, 1 half a day, and that sort of thing. So there was a very constant turnover of people that they were exposed to. We had no study plan, so that today Mrs. Hoositz would do this, and then someone else might come behind her and do the same thing or skip to something, whatever they felt like giving the teachers, there was no definite plan that had been set up for the children by a day-by-day study.
we had just begun to get books after it looked like the boycott was going to continue for a while. We had requested books from different schools, and we got them from the Little Red Schoolhouse, Downtown Community, and the Martin School. Just lovely books. In addition, we got some money. Well, most of the response from the parents, they refused. Came to the point, well, how many are willing to continue the boycott under these circumstances? Everybody raised their hand. Mrs. Jones said, but it means your children aren't being taught. And kept their hands up. And then they said, well, in addition to continuing the boycott, how many would be willing to become actively involved in protesting this? In other words, not just keeping the kids and trying to maintain a separate school, which is impossible, but taking the children and attempting to register them at the different schools. And most of the parents could participate in this, too. So the week following the Easter holiday, we began registering at the different schools in Englewood. And then we went up to the superintendent of schools office, and we were turned down at all of these places. At the same time, court action had been started against the parents, and they were facing a $5 fine for the first offense, plus a fine for subsequent days of $25 each. And I don't recall how much it was. I think at some time someone went through the trouble of adding it up. It was about $22,000 that the group could be fined as a group if the city went through this. But despite this, the parents continued out. The Board of Education issued a statement saying that they did not wish to be vindictive, and that if parents would return their children to school, they would recommend that all charges be dropped. And of course, those of us who were in the forefront of the fight sort of held our fingers, because we felt that this was such an attractive offer. For instance, my husband and I together owed the city $7,000. We felt that comes Monday after the Easter holiday, you'd probably have to hold the people back to keep them from going into the schools. But only one child returned, and that was because his mother had not been at the meetings where we had discussed this. And when she found out what was going on, she took him back out of school again. And we had the court hearing. They only fined the parents $5 and never bothered to prosecute on the other subsequent charges, and said they would hold these in abeyance pending an appeal. Parents refused to pay $5 fine. That they'd rather go to jail, so they therefore lifted the fines also. And then the idea of taking the children to the school and sitting in was developed, and that proved to be the best idea we've had to date.
How did the how have the children reacted to these various stages of the struggle?
Well, I think they did very well outwardly, as far as we can tell. Inwardly, I don't know, but I was commenting to my husband today that they had stood up beautifully. With the sixth grade, for instance, this had been a difficult class. And when they were up on Belmont Street, you know, the lady up there had to say several times, if you don't behave, you'll have to leave, because they were just wild at times. And when it came time for the sit-in, in the schools, there were training sessions for these youngsters as to what it was all about and what they were going to have to do. And they were all anxious to participate, and originally we thought of picking just a few out of this group, but it got to the point where we had to decide that everybody should go, because if anybody was not allowed to go, they would feel rejected. And I don't know, I think the participation in the activity has somewhat gone to strengthen some of these children and give them a feeling of something or the other that I can't define. But there have been some tremendous changes in some of the most acting out youngsters. Just seem calmer, more settled, and just seem to have a sense of direction. In fact, one of the most difficult boy in the class, I understand, was commended yesterday up at Cleveland School for his wonderful behavior.
Unbelievable. What were the instructions that they got before they went in? What were some of the main points of the instructions?
As I indicated in the papers, they were not to move. They were to go in, they were to have a seat, take a seat.
They were not to what?
Move from the seat that they took. They were to go in, look for an empty seat, take it, and stay there. They took a note with them, which they gave to the teacher, indicating that they had come in a spirit of friendliness and goodwill, but that they were instructed to stay there. And attempts were made, to have them leave after the first day. And I think even the superintendent of schools on one occasion came. He wasn't trying to get them out of the school, just into a classroom that was less crowded than the grade they were in. He couldn't budge them. And he had refused to allow parents upstairs with the children. Finally, he had to come down. Please, will one of you come upstairs? Those children won't move. And finally, when he did come up, they moved to another classroom, but with the, I think, specification that they would not be seated in the back of the room as they had been, that they would have desks as the other children had.
Is this just the sixth grade?
Mm-mm, it's kindergarten through six now. You know, the first day was the sixth grade, and then the next day, many children went up, some who were going to pick it, and the sixth grade was again to go into the classrooms, plus the fifth grade. And when the doors were open, we just decided there's no point in trying to screen who goes in, just go in. And they all went in with the instructions that those who did not know what class to go into would go into the first open door and take a seat. And as a result, my daughter ended up in the second grade that morning.
How old is she?
Well, she's past the second grade. She's 9 years old.
Uh-huh.
But she was later. The principal has been just wonderful at Cleveland School. Really, a very warm, understanding sort of person. And when this was brought to his attention, he put her in the proper grade. And in instances where teachers attempted to block the children, even the second day from going into the classroom, he worked this out with the child and, you know, took them himself into the classroom. He's been just great. So it looks like we picked the right school.
Mm-hmm. And it all has happened in the one school. Will it spread to other schools?
No comment.
May I ask a question?
Yeah.
Is this the mayor of Teaneck's statement yesterday or the day before? Do you think that will have any, on the schools there?
Well, I haven't had an opportunity to look at it. What did he say?
Well, that it's an ambiguous kind of statement, but he said that in Teaneck, we will not, I mean, anyone can go to any school anyone wishes to go to, regardless of where they live in
the
community.
Well, last year when Englewood began to experience, a great deal of difficulty, Teaneck started an open enrollment program for a year, and at the end of this time, they were
to the teachers. Wait a minute.
Becoming racially imbalanced to transfer out of the schools.
Mm-hmm.
So the end of the year was up, say, within the past week, and they voted to continue this open enrollment.
Mm.
And this, I think, is what he
was
referring to, that it is possible for parents to transfer out of a school that they feel is heavily, weighted with Negroes.
Mm-hmm. I was just curious, your sister villages.
Well, they've been ahead of us.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first day, the teachers were not aware of what had happened. There were three sixth grade classrooms, and three children entered each classroom. And they had a note with them saying they had come in a spirit of friendliness and goodwill. But it didn't say they had come to sit in, nor did it say that they were not, hadn't come through regular channels. The principal did not get around to notifying the teachers because he was just busy trying to find out what he was supposed to do. And the teachers thought that these were kids who had come from another school as visitors. And they were treated as visitors and commended on their wonderful behavior and that sort of thing. By the end of that day, which was only a half-day session, the teachers found out what had happened. And on the next morning, there was a decided change in the attitude on the part of some teachers for instance, one who attempted to block the children, quite a few rather, from going into classrooms. And the classrooms, each of them had two entrances, and the youngsters had learned from the beginning that if you were blocked at one entrance, one child engaged the teacher in conversation while the others scooted around to the other entrance and went in. And this is what they did. By the time they got seated, they said, you know, like, we're seated. And then she found out they were inside. She went to see them, and the third child got in and sat down, too. And the reaction of some of the teachers was really quite fantastic. One teacher who got very upset and, you know, told, and this was in the second grade, you don't belong here. These are my children's seats you're sitting in. Get up out of my children's seats. And this is the second graders. And finally, when the children went moved, started to talk in whispers so that they couldn't hear what was going on. Some of the kids were put in the back room without, in the back of the classroom without any desks, just sitting there. Some of the teachers, on the other hand, were very good to the children, included them immediately in everything that was going on, and gave them books if they gave the kids tests. They were just part of the group. So I think this was the teachers were no doubt under instructions not to include these children, but how they reacted to it was an individual thing, some following instructions, others not. I think Sandy told me there was an item in the papers this week where they quoted one of the youngsters as saying, what did she say?
She said that the teacher, she asked her teacher to mark her paper at the end of the period. The teacher said, I'm not supposed to do it, but since you're such a sweet little girl, I'll do it for you. And yesterday I heard of a child, I know many of the children go to the school, the Cleveland school. She's in fifth grade, and she said her teacher gets there early every morning and lets all her children and stands at the door and doesn't allow any Negro children to her particular classroom, so she has none in her classroom. And she said, I can't get to meet them because they're playing with the classmates mm-hmm. that are in their own classrooms now. Mm-hmm.
Did you get any reactions from the white children?
Just positive.
Yeah, all positive.
Mm-hmm. From the very first day at mm-hmm. lunchtime, it would have been a beautiful sight for anybody to see. Some of the kids, especially one of our youngsters, a particularly good baseball player, and the sixth grade classes, two of them got into a conflict when he entered the school. Whose team would he play on? Mm-hmm. And they immediately organized the baseball, and at lunchtime every day they're out there playing. The girls are, you know, jumping rope and whatever girls do together. Some of the white youngsters, teachers forbade them to speak to the Negro youngsters. They wanted to give them paper or pencils and don't do that, mind your own business, that sort of thing. And I understood from some of the kids, the white youngsters would pass them on the playground and whisper as they go by, what's your name, that sort of thing. And one mother came up at lunchtime the second day and said, didn't I tell you not to play, to stay away from those colored children? Sixth grade. Child she had, and he said, so what's the matter, you're trying to pick my friends for me now? But the children have been really just wonderful.
Yeah, I know on Wednesday morning when I was there, the children were waiting for them to open the school doors. Mm-hmm. And there were about five white girls who came up and stood right in the doorway where they were and played. Boy, you know how children do, they want to be friendly, and then mm-hmm. they don't quite know how to say mm-hmm. anything, but they start playing, mm-hmm. throwing the ball up by the wall, kind of looking at one mm-hmm. another. And I thought this too, but if they had been hostile, they wouldn't have come near them, you see, but they didn't.
Well, something interesting, the end of the second day also, two parent groups, one white, one Negro, standing waiting for their kids to come out. And obviously, this was a group of white parents who were very disturbed about what had happened and weren't too friendly, you know, making all kinds of remarks. But there was a little child with the Negro parents and a little child with white parents, both preschool. And they got together and were playing ball. The kids are all right.
Yes. just testing, testing, testing. All right, will you tell me your name?
My name is Walt Faria.
Would you tell me about your experience in going into the new school? Do you remember the morning? What happened?
Well, when I went into the class, everybody stopped and looked at me when I took a seat in the class.
How did you feel?
I felt okay. Not too nervous.
And then what happened?
Then I was sitting in the boys' seat, and the kids kept on telling me to move, but I didn't move until they got me another desk.
Did the children seem angry, or when they told you to move, or what was the spirit of these children?
They didn't seem angry. They just told me in a nice way.
They did?
Yes.
And what did the teacher do?
The teacher didn't say anything. The lady that had brought us upstairs to the class, the teacher was asking her, were we registered there?
Mm-hmm. And what did you say?
Yes, we told her we were registered.
I see. And how many days have you gone there now? Yes?
5 days already.
You have? Uh-huh. And what happens on the playground?
Oh, we play softball. The kids play with us.
Mm-hmm. And you play?
Yes.
I see. What is your name?
My name is Ralph Lay.
And would you tell me about your experience?
Well, when the first day we came to Cleveland School, there was no children in the class. They was down to music, I think, at the moment. So we went in and sat in some kids' seats. And so when the class came back, they said that we weren't supposed to sit there. We didn't say anything. And then, see, the teacher tried to make us move, but we just sat there. Teacher, she wouldn't let us do no work, but we just did what she put on the board. And then my friend and I got moved to another class, Miss Davis' class, which she's nice in some ways, but she wouldn't let us participate in work either. Children in the school are nice, but I think it's the teachers, the principal, and the parents that's causing all this disturbance.
Do they play with you at playground time?
Yes, we play baseball with them.
Did you get to know any of them in those 5 days?
Yes.
You know any names, and have you made any friends?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
When I first went to Miss Borthwick's room before I got moved to Miss Davis's class, I knew a boy named Mark in the class and a boy named Carl.
Uh-huh.
Then when I got moved to Miss Davis's class, I know a boy named Jimmy, a boy named Richard, and a boy named Bob.
My name is Bobby, Steve, Gary, Peter.
Some other kids that's not in our class either, like Coletti.
Coletto.
Do they ever talk to you about the whole thing? Do they ever ask you why you're doing it or anything like that?
No.
The boy in my class asked me what school I came from.
I see. But he didn't say anything more about the whole thing?
No.
Than that.
Well, anyway, when I come home, mostly all the time I hear is I seen your pitch in the newspaper, and I heard this on the radio and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I just get tired of hearing it.
You do? Okay. Will you give us your name?
My name is Connie Brown.
Connie Brown. And your name?
Jeanette Swain.
All right, Connie, will you tell us about your experience?
Well, the first day we went in, we went in the classroom, and we just took a seat while the other children, they were standing outside online by the door. And some of the children told us to come outside and get online, but we didn't pay no attention to them, So we went in and we sat down in any seat. And then the teacher came in and she asked us to move, but we didn't. So she told the other children that the seats we were sitting in for them to get one in the back. And then we didn't participate in none of the work or nothing that we did. But sometimes she would ask us questions in English or something. And then we did that. And sometimes in arithmetic, but not all. And then in the afternoon, we made friends with the girls and everything. And they asked us, did we play ball with them? And we picked sides and everything. But sometimes the teachers wouldn't allow them to speak to us, for them to ignore us. Sometimes she would ignore us, too.
Would you tell us your story?
Well, the third day we went there, principal wouldn't let us in. And so Ralph and I, we went to the side door to block it so the rest of the children couldn't get in either. So then the janitor came to the door and he let us in. So we went up to the classroom and the teacher, she was doing some work and gave me some page and arithmetic to do. So I went up there to get my paper correct. And she said that she wasn't supposed to correct my paper, but she said just because that I was a pleasant girl in class, then she would check it. And so then she said she wasn't supposed to correct it because we were just visitors in the classroom.
I see. And have you come to know some of the girls?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
There was a girl who sat by me. Her name was Julie.
Mm-hmm. And did she ever talk to you about the whole thing? Did she ask you any questions about why you're doing it or anything like that?
No.
I see. Did you feel frightened at any time or
no?
No? When you stood at the door and they told you to move, did they tell you to move?
No.
They didn't.
Every time we got online, children was on.
No, at the beginning when you blocked the doorway, did anybody try to get through or anything like that?
Yes.
Well, see, when we blocked the doors, we said if the white kids go in, we're going to go in too.
I see. And so you just stood there.
They couldn't close the school down, so they opened the doors, and so we would have to go in.
I see. Mm-hmm.
All the doors were locked.
Uh-huh. Now, as far as the teacher is concerned, was it better toward the end of the week? Did things improve?
Or yes.
They did.
Because the last day we went there, all the doors were open.
And did she give you more work than she did the first day? Or did she still ignore you?
No, she did a little better than she did the rest of the days.
She did. Mm-hmm. Do you raise your hands and try to take part in things?
Yes. In English, when she asks us questions, we do.
I see.
The first day, in English, the teacher called on me, and after a while, I think it was the third day we were there, I raised my hand, and the teacher, she told me, she said she wished she could call on me, but she can't.
Hmm. That's interesting.
And that was all.
Let me have your names first.
My name is Cynthia Willoughby.
My name is Nora Stanford.
All right, will you tell me what happened when you went to school that morning?
Well, all the doors were locked and we couldn't get in, so we just stayed by the door. And then Mrs. Tweed called us that it was time to go in, so we went in around the side door and all of us went in. And the principal was trying to keep us out, but we ducked under and went up to the classroom. And when we sat down in the chairs, the kids were outside, and they told us we'd get in trouble because the teacher wasn't in yet. And we just sat there, and when she came in, she didn't say anything. And she told the children that didn't, if someone was sitting in the seat, just go sit in the back of the room until the afternoon. And I had a friend there, and she was talking to me, and she almost got sent out because the teacher told her to mind her own business. And
had you known her before?
No.
I see. Well, how did you make friends with her?
Oh, I met her on the playground when we were going to go in the morning, and then we started playing baseball and everything in the afternoon.
I see. And did she ask you any questions?
No.
You just happened to meet her on the playground, and you knew her before you went into the building.
Mm-hmm.
And she was friendly with you on the playground. Is that it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Could you tell us what happened to you?
On the first day, the teacher would ignore us sometime. But in the middle of the week, she would, sometime we would raise our hands, and sometimes she would say that she couldn't let us answer the question. And so on the third day, they had gym. And so the principal let the boys go in the gym and play. So then he let us go and play. And on the fourth day, that afternoon, she gave us a social study book and an English book. But we couldn't work in the English book, she said, but we could work in the social studies.
What day was that when she gave you the books?
I think it was Friday.
I see. Mm-hmm. And did she ask you, did she call on you?
No.
She didn't? Mm-hmm. But she let you have the books?
Yes.
Now, do you people try to have the any of the materials and follow the assignments that they give in the class?
Yes.
You do? Mm-hmm.
The teacher, she gave us a real 34-letter word and told the children to find its meanings and all. I have the word with me.
You do? Mm-hmm. What is the word?
I can't pronounce it.
I see. Uh-huh. Now, does anybody want to add anything to what's been said?
When the art teacher came in, she passed out the tools for the children to use, and she skipped us.
Mm-hmm.
And the boy who was sitting next to me, Bobby, she didn't give me any paper. He got up and got me some paper that I could use.
A boy named Richard, he was passing out these little cards just before they take their gym physical fitness test. And so he went up to the teacher and asked, should he pass it out to the visitors? So teacher said, I told you to pass it out to our class, the members of the class, and not the visitors.
When she was taking the attendance in the morning, Carnell's brother was absent. And so then she asked the groups who was absent. So they said Kenneth was absent. So she said that she doesn't have him on her register, so don't mention his name because he's a visitor.
Yeah. Now, yes.
Another thing I want to say. We was introducing ourselves to the class. So Walter was the first one before that she started telling us to introduce ourselves. And so Walter said, I've been living in Inglewood. I was born in Inglewood. And go to Cleveland School. She told us not to say we go to Cleveland School, but we're visitors at Cleveland School.
Now, you've been out of Lincoln School since February, haven't you?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Are there any times when you felt that you wanted to go back to Lincoln?
No.
Sometimes
the kids are on, they tease me and say you're going to get left back. And on the papers, we were sitting on the steps of Cleveland School. They said they shall not pass. So a friend of mine, she kept on saying that we will not pass to the seventh grade.
I see.
But when it said they shall not pass, they didn't mean that we weren't going to pass to the seventh grade. They mean that the white kids wasn't going to pass through the doors, I think.
You mean white children said they shall not pass?
Us. We were sitting on the front steps, so they couldn't pass, so they said they should not pass.
We were captioned in the paper.
Oh, I see. This was in the paper. The headline said they shall not pass. I see.
They said if we don't pass, if we don't go to the school, they won't go either.
Mm-hmm. You mean they told you that? The children?
That's what we were supposed to say.
Oh, I see. I see. You were supposed to say that if you can't go in, they can't go in either. Now, you said that you wouldn't like to go back to Lincoln. Why?
Well, I'm having the same fun as I am at Cleveland School. It's no difference.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the reason I want to go back to Lincoln School because really they 2 years behind from the other schools. And plus, you learn a lot more than you do at Lincoln because they're about probably not even in the middle of their arithmetic books.
Mm-hmm.
Not even almost through, but Cleveland, they're mostly through all their books getting new editions now. And pretty soon, they'll be ready to go to the seventh grade.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel that staying out has been worthwhile?
Well, my opinion, it's hard to say because I haven't seen a book in a long time except for my own I have at home. And plus, when you don't participate in the work and the teacher try to be sneaky, give it off to him on a slide, you don't know what you're missing, so you'd have to be on your own to do the work to make up that you lose.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else like to say anything?
I have something to say.
Yes.
I believe it was the third day when Cynthia and I went in the class, you know. So we sat down in the children's seats. It was just Cynthia, Willoughby, and I. So a teacher named Miss Davis came in Miss Borthwick's classroom, which was Cynthia and I was in, and tried to make us to move. So we kept telling them, my mother told me to sit here not to move. And then she went out. So then Miss Borthwick came in. That's our teacher. Was our teacher anyway. She tried to make us to move and she went and got the assistant principal. Assistant principal tried to get us to move, but we still wouldn't move. And then Dr. Shedd came in. And he got down, knelt down beside us. And pleaded us, kept pleasing and pleading and begging, and we still wouldn't move. So Dr. Shedd had to go down and get one of the parents before we moved.
Mrs. Wilson.
Yes, it was Mrs. Wilson, but he still would have to go down and get one of the parents before we moved, because that's how we was instructed, not to move. On nobody's account, even if they do soften up and plead. So he didn't move until Miss Wilson came upstairs. And we had to go to Miss Davis' room. On the count we had to go, it was because they said that Miss Borthwick's room was overcrowded.
When they were having gym on the last day, it was physical fitness test. So we had to stay up on the test because we couldn't participate. So we asked the principal, could we go in the gymnasium and play basketball? So the boys went in first, and they took a long time, so we had to go in there and make them get out. So we went in there and started playing basketball, and the principal gave us permission to stay until it was time to go.
And the teacher didn't even, she must have wanted us to come back to the class